editing software, so I was thinking we'd just go with the flow.
Okay.
All right. So I'm speaking to Christy McIntosh, and Christy is my guinea pig today for my first ever interview. And the podcast is going to be called Australian Homeschooling Stories, or Homeschooling Stories Australia, or something like that. And we'll figure it out. So welcome, Christy, and thank you for being my first interviewee.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm a bit scared, but okay.
Oh, it is a little bit scary. I don't know how this is going to go. It's going to be one big experiment, but I'm sure it'll be helpful to some people, because I would personally love something like this. Have you ever searched on podcasts for like homeschooling stuff?
No, I'm big on podcasts, but I've never found any interesting homeschool stuff.
No, me neither, especially not in Australia.
No, no. And just a forewarning, my kids will probably interrupt me.
Oh, yeah, me too. Totally. I think that's the beauty of this thing, is that I'm going to be interviewing people who homeschool and their kids are always going to be around. So,
yeah, they are.
Okay, let's start with the first question. So, Christy.
Yes.
For people who don't know, Christy is my twin sister. So our childhoods are going to be similar, but I'm not interviewing myself. I'm interviewing Christy. So Christy, where did you grow up?
So I grew up in a little suburb in the Sutherland Shire called Guymere Bay.
Okay.
Which is in Sydney.
That's right, in Sydney. Very good. So if people don't know where the Sutherland Shire is, where's the Sutherland Shire?
So it's South Sydney. So north of Wollongong and south of the sort of central coast and south of the northern beaches. Yeah.
South of the CBD for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so do you feel comfortable sharing your age?
Yes, I am 35.
Okay. And how many kids and stuff were in your family?
My first thing to say is there's nine of us, but we're from a split family. So Dad had one daughter from his first marriage, and Mum had two daughters from her first marriage. And then I have a foster sister, and then five, including myself, full-blood relatives, brothers and sisters. So, but, you know, being a twin and being one of the youngest, of all of those nine, didn't ever think it was a split family. They, you know, were always in the house, so they were always my sisters and my brother. I didn't know any different. So yeah, I mean, without going into the dynamics too much, I would just say one of nine.
Awesome. And yeah. Is there a reason that your parents had so many kids?
Well, do you know what? It's so interesting, because once upon a time I would have said no, because growing up people would say, oh, what are they, Catholic or something like that? And then they would laugh, and I would get a bit defensive and say, no, they're not. They're Mormons. but now, being a bit older and wiser, I realise that actually that's part of being a good Mormon as well, is having lots of kids. But I will say that I think Mum and Dad being previously married, obviously boosts our numbers. I don't think they would have had nine kids together. But definitely being a Mormon, I think, has boosted our numbers. Yeah.
Okay. So from the sounds of things, you were raised Mormon?
Yes, was okay. Raised Mormon.
Without getting into it too much, but how did that affect your childhood, do you think? In a couple of sentences, was it good? Was it bad? Was it mixed?
Oh, it was definitely mixed. And to be really honest, I don't think you can just sum it up in a couple of sentences. I think
it's very, very complex, isn't it, when you're raised in a religion and one as fundamental as Mormonism?
It's your whole life. It's not just a religion where you just go to church on a Sunday and that's it. It's your social life. It's breakfast, lunch and dinner. It's very... well, you know, cultish, I suppose. It's all consuming. So it majorly affected it. And for me, unfortunately, it affected it negatively in most ways. Not always, but in most ways for me, it was a negative experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into a little bit later if you're still Mormon, or what do you practice now, or if you practice anything at all. So moving on. So how was school for you? Did you go to a private school or a public school, or were you homeschooled?
So mum and dad, big believers in public system education. So public primary school and public high school. And I had a mixed school experience. I would say I never liked school, not in primary school or high school. I'm not academic at all, and I wouldn't call myself super intelligent. My grades were never even above average. They were just average or below average. School was purely social for me, and then in high school I had some bullying issues, so even then it wasn't even social, it was just something I had to do. And I remember being in primary school, and I never had good grades, and I wanted to go to Newtown Performing Arts School because I thought it would be something that would make me interested in schooling and make mm-hmm. me want to attend school. And mum wouldn't have a bar of it. She just said, all your other siblings weren't allowed to choose their school, and they all went to the local high school, so that's what you'll do too. And I think that, obviously I still remember it, so it's left a negative impact on me in the way that I viewed schooling. It was purely you just did it because that's what you had to do. And, yeah, so I wouldn't say it was a positive experience at all for me, no.
It's hard to say, but how much do you think your school experience impacted you choosing to homeschool your kids? Do you think it's not affected, or at least not consciously?
I don't think that I consciously made that connection to homeschool because of my bad experience. But then when I just related that story about not being allowed to go to Newtown Performing Arts, I think there must be some sort of, there's some subconscious stuff going on there, because I do think that if your children aren't particularly academic, there's better options out there for them to continue their love of learning, even if they're not super bright. So I think subconsciously it must have played a role in me wanting to homeschool.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So do you feel comfortable telling us about your education after high school? What was the series of events through high school? Did you complete your year 12? What's it called? A high school? High school certificate?
HSC.
It's always changing though, isn't it? I don't even know what it's called anymore.
Yeah, so I had very poor attendance in high school. I, truanted most days, or I would turn up and swipe my card to say that I had come to school, and then I would just leave again. So while I graduated year 12, I never even turned up for my HSC exams. So I didn't actually pass with a HSC mark, but I did graduate. So, when you fill out those forms, I can say that I have finished.
Completed year 12. Well, yep.
But I didn't do my exams. And then went on after high school to do just certificates. So I got my certificate 4 in outdoor recreation. I got my certificate 3 in Christian studies. I have my certificate 4 in disability. Just a few things like that. But never went to university. I never thought that I was bright enough to do that, but always felt like that I could do a course in something that I was very interested in, and which is why the certificates that I do. Yeah.
Okay. So what happened after high school? You were doing the certificates at
high school, left high school and worked at a Christian camp for kids, because that's what I was interested in. They sent me off to Dubbo to do Christian studies. That's where I got my cert 3 in Christian studies. Came back and got married and had a baby when I was 21. And before that happened, I got my cert 4 in outdoor rec. So I had 2 certificates by then. And then when my kids were a little bit older, started working part-time, and my job put me through TAFE studies to get my certificate 4 in disability. Yeah.
Okay. So what kind of jobs have you had since you got married and had kids? What kind of things have you done, and what do you do today?
Okay, so I was fairly invested in wanting to be at home with my children. I have, you know, nothing against women that want to go out and work. I actually think that's commendable. For me, I don't know if it was because I always had a mum that didn't work and was at home, but I always wanted that for my kids, to be around for them. So I haven't actually done a lot of work since I've had my four children. I did work in disability because we needed some income, and that was something that I was interested in. So I took up a part-time job doing that. And I've also had a couple of work-at-home jobs. So I had a little business selling vintage clothing and accessories. And then I still have a little business now, which is making natural products, which I sell online and at a market. So
the best smelling candles ever. Ever. They're so good.
I find that that works best, particularly because we're farmers and my husband needs me to help him. And also now that we're homeschooling, I need to be at home. But it gives me something to do. It's a hobby, and it makes me a little bit of pocket money. So I haven't ever had a full-time job since having children. And I've only had one part-time job. Otherwise, it's just working from home as a little, yeah, little crafty business. So, yeah.
So how many kids do you have?
I have four children. I have a daughter who is just about to turn 14, and then I have three boys who are aged 11, 9, and 8.
So you have four kids.
Four kids.
You run your own business.
Yeah.
You homeschool. And yeah. You help with the farm work.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's brilliant. Oh, wow. That's amazing.
I do like to be busy.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. And sometimes I do find something's got to give. Like I do find sometimes the homeschooling gets a little bit on the wayside, or I'm not helping Nathan, my husband, as much as I should be, or I, you know, the business goes on the back burner. I do find it hard to juggle, but I also like being busy. So I if I don't have something going on, I look for something to do. So, you know,
my gosh, we're so similar. Isn't that interesting? And I wonder, so. I'd be so interested to see what the correlation is between other women. Or parents or men who homeschool their children,
I think,
and how busy they are.
It's interesting when I speak to other homeschoolers, they're usually generally quite motivated people. I'm yet to meet a majority of homeschoolers that are unmotivated. My own personal, you know, assumption that I've made in the homeschoolers I've met is they're pretty motivated. Could be
okay,
wrong.
Okay, well, let's jump into the homeschooling then. That was a nice segue into that topic. So how long have you been homeschooling for, and how did you hear about it?
So this is our first year. We're just coming to the end of our first year of homeschooling the three boys full time. And last year we started the year homeschooling all four children part time. Then I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, cancer, the year before last, and then just started to do treatment last year, and I just found I was just too sick to even do part-time with all four. So we sent the two oldest ones back to school full-time, and I just part-timed the two younger kids. And then at the end of the year last year, our school said to us that they would no longer be a part-time homeschooling school. They didn't want to be known as that because they had since had lots of homeschooling families approach them to want to homeschool part-time, and they felt that they were just going to be used as a respite instead of, you know, for the right reasons.
But you're in a private school, so you pay them. Okay. Anyway, let's not get into that. But you had started a trend, had you?
And yes. So we then had to make a decision, do we send them back to school or do we keep them at home? And so our decision was to keep our eldest daughter, who was in year eight, at school, and then homeschool the three boys. So that's the decision we made. And it's been an interesting year. It's been both harder and easier than I thought, definitely. But I'd heard about homeschool because my husband Nathan was originally homeschooled and then ended up going to the school that my children went to, and have a lot of his family that homeschool and then you homeschool. But it wasn't an unknown thing to me, mainly through Nathan's family, because his sisters homeschooled, three of his actually siblings homeschooled, and then a lot of his cousins homeschool as well. So it's kind of like the trend in his side of the family to do it.
Mm-hmm. And was it all a positive, all that you were seeing from people who did homeschool? Was it all a positive image for you?
No, definitely not. I think there's so many different ways to homeschool. So some of his family members that would homeschool, I would think, they would lean more towards the unschooling, and that is not what we do. So you always sort of question, what are they doing? And there's no right or wrong way, but obviously the way that you choose to do, and we didn't choose to unschool, we choose a set curriculum. You do look at what other people are doing and think, what are they doing? I think as you're constantly questioning yourself, constantly questioning, is what I'm doing right? So then you look at other homeschoolers, and I wasn't always looking at them with a positive view, which is probably wrong of me, because I've realised it's just really tough and we're just trying to do it the best that we can and do the best for our children that we can. But there were some family members that I looked at and thought that they were probably not educating their children enough. And then there was other homeschool families that I would look at, and I would think, oh, that's what I want to be like. They seem so chilled and relaxed, and the kids sort of just seem to want to learn. And my kids aren't really like that. So I'll be like, oh, what am I doing wrong if my kids aren't wanting to learn? So no, it's definitely hasn't always been a positive experience. No.
So you've mentioned that you wanted to do more school or more curriculum. So what would you define your style as? Can you put a label on it?
Yeah, so I'm really big into routine. So I would say that I wish I was less like this. We've sort of taken a school approach and done it at home, which I know, a lot of people are critical about, because they say, well, what's the point of homeschooling, because you're just doing school at home. But I really wanted to have structure around our homeschool. So we are quite structured. Originally we were doing ACE, which is what their school had been doing, and so it was what my children understood and knew, and it's the program my husband grew up with as well.
So is that called ACE, also known as ACE?
Yeah, so Australia.
And that's a Christian boxed curriculum, isn't it?
Yeah. Accelerated. Okay. So it's pace work. You can work at your own pace. So you can work faster or slower. And it meant that my three boys in their three different grades, I could sit down with them and just, they were teaching. It teaches them themselves. You don't have to be an actual teacher doing all the legwork yourself. So We did that for most of the year, and then towards the end of this year I found that it was getting a bit boring, and my kids were bored with it, and I found that they were losing a bit of their love of learning. So I looked around for another program, and this last term we've been doing Australian homeschool curriculum, which they've loved. They've absolutely loved it, and they really, really like it, but it's a lot more work for me, and I'm finding myself tire a lot more. So I do, if I had to say a style, it would be I like a set curriculum. That is my style. It is a school at home, and I like, we get up early, we spend an hour maybe doing an hour and a half doing book work set each day. They know what they have to get done, and then the rest of the day is free learning. So they help on the farm, or we cook, or whatever. So I don't know what style you'd call that, but I would call it a definitely set curriculum.
Yeah, I have no idea what style I'd call that.
Yeah.
So I didn't if we can backtrack just a little bit, was there any particular reason why you chose homeschooling? Like, was school going well for your kids, or was it just, you know, what was the catalyst for you choosing to homeschool?
Well, there was two. There was two catalysts. One was because my youngest son, Judah, was having a lot of learning difficulties. He had finished prep and was going into year one and still couldn't read, and he was the only kid in his class that couldn't read. And eventually it got to the point where they were just sending all of his schoolwork home, and we were doing it at home anyway. And I thought, this is ridiculous. So we had tried everything at school. He was going to a speech pathologist. He'd been going to a speech pathologist for 4 years. And I just thought to myself, you know what, if I'm doing all his work at home, I might as well just keep him at home and have him here, and, you know, he can be homeschooled. And on the back of that, we live on a farm, and I thought, what a great opportunity for the boys to spend time with their dad and have an education on the farm. And but the second catalyst was that when I was diagnosed with cancer, it just sort of, you know, put everything into perspective for me that life is really short, and I do want to spend time with my kids. I like my kids. I do like spending time with them, and I wanted them around me. It brought everything to a head for me. If I'd ever been umming and ahhing about the idea of, and my husband and I had always talked about the possibility of it, and this was the catalyst. Well, if I'm going to do it, now's the time. I want my kids around me. Life is short, and I want to spend time with them. So, yeah.
So those were the feelings and the thoughts that prompted you to want to do it. What were the feelings and thoughts that made you not want to do it? Does that make sense?
Yeah, being tired because I had cancer, so I was tired. And also my insecurities, because I had done so poorly myself at school, I was plagued with massive self-doubt about, can I actually do this? And I think that would be one of the greatest misconceptions about homeschooling, is that if you're not particularly bright or that you didn't do well at school, that you won't be able to do it. And it's so false. And I wish that I had listened sooner to all the people that told me that, because there's so many resources out there. And as it is, we've chosen a curriculum that has it all there for you. And there are curriculums that, you know, like the ACE curriculum, you don't have to be particularly bright. It's self-learning. So you're learning with your kids as they do the work. And also, Google is an amazing thing. If I ever had a problem, I would just Google how to do something, and I was able to work it out. So that was definitely a negative thing I had going in the back of my mind, that I wouldn't be smart enough, that I would lose my patience with my children, which sometimes I do. And also the negative tone that a lot of people in the community have about homeschools, I was afraid of people thinking that we were weird or different, or that, you know, my kids wouldn't be socialized, or that they, you know, they would miss out on all those things with their friends, which hasn't happened at all. They're still, you know, very social, and they haven't turned into weirdos, and they were probably the main negative things.
And so it was basically around Judah's learning. How is he now after being homeschooled for almost, 1 year part-time, 1 year full-time? How is he now? Is he
We had a diagnostic test done on him, which is great. We found out he has dyslexia. He has auditory problems, and he has memory, his working memory is slow. So now that we know what we're dealing with, it's good to have that information. I won't say that homeschooling skyrocketed his learning abilities. It didn't, because he has genuine disabilities when it comes to learning. But he's way less frustrated than he was at school. He is a much happier child. He loves being at home. He's happy to do his work because I am able to adjust it to what he can and can't do. So his reading has improved, which it might have had he stayed at school as well, but there's definitely less frustration. So even if academically he, is not gone ahead leaps and bounds, which it wouldn't have had he stayed at school with his learning difficulties, his other things that he needs to work on, it personality and social and mental and emotional health, they've all improved dramatically.
That's amazing. That's just beautiful. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to keep myself out of this interview because I want it to be all about you and your story. So I'm trying not to say that's great, that's no good, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just trying to listen and open it up for your story.
Yeah.
So
this is probably just a good point, just quickly, just to say that another reason we homeschooled is because we feel like there's way more there's other ways to educate children apart from academics. You know, there's emotional health and there is, mental health, and there's other health things that you need to look out for with your children. And so Judah is a perfect example of that. So while his academic education might be slow because of his learning disability, the fact that he's been able to work at other health things like emotional health and mental health, that is just as important to me as his academic health as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what about your other boys who are homeschooled full time?
Did they also
choose to be homeschooled, or are they happy to be with Judah, or how much choice did they have in it, and how do they feel about it?
We've always said to our children that if they want to go to school, they can go to school. I'm not going to keep them home. If they want to stay, if they want to stay home, they can, and if they want to go to school, they can. So that might mean that one year they go to school and then the next year they come home again. I'm happy to be fluid and meet my children where their needs are. So we're discussing the possibility of my elder son, Talis, going to school next year because he's expressed an interest to be back there. And if it doesn't work out, well, we'll pull him out again. So we're very fluid. And at this stage, Levi and Judah both really want to stay at home. They definitely don't want to go to school. It's only Talis that wants to be at school. So, we're looking into that for him. So, yeah, they mainly want to be at home, though.
Awesome. And how is your homeschooling community around there? Do you have a good one? Do you have an average one? Do you have one that needs a lot of help? Do you have multiple ones, or do you just have one really big one? What's it like around there?
Well, yeah, because we're on a farm, so we're rural, we don't have a homeschooling community locally. I would have to go to the next biggest town, which is half an hour away. So we are actually not involved in our homeschool community. I've heard it's a decent one. I've heard it's quite large. I've never been contacted by anyone from there, but I've heard it's good. But we're very involved with other things, our church, and my daughter still is at the school, so I do help at the school with things. So we're involved with people in our whole week constantly. So I haven't felt the need to immerse myself in the homeschool community because I felt supported by other people. Yeah.
Awesome. So I hope home isn't crucial for you to enjoy and thrive with homeschooling.
No. In fact, I felt like it would just be another job on my list
So your eldest, she goes to school, so she's sort of ticked that box of socialization. But you also, so you live on a farm, but you also are part of your church community. So what do you say when people sort of bring up that argument about, well, how are your kids going to be socialized?
Oh, I think that's the biggest load of rubbish, to be honest, because, firstly, there's plenty of children that are in the education system that have social issues, and my children probably have the opposite issue. They're surrounded by a massive family on both sides, my side and my husband's side. So they see their cousins all the time. And just to give you an idea, on Wednesday they have table tennis and badminton and normal tennis and chess club. And
all on one day.
Well, it depends, in summer and winter. So
So
chess club's all year round. Badminton is only like it's later on during the night, and tennis is summer, and then table tennis is winter. And then on a Thursday, when it's the season, Talis has football training, and then he plays a football game on a Saturday. And then the boys have soccer training on a Friday, and then they play soccer on a Saturday afternoon. So then we have church on a Sunday, and then we have youth group on a Friday night. So for us, it's the opposite problem. My children are very well socialized, and I think that that is a complete misconception with homeschool families, is that they are going to miss out on a social life, because my kids are great now at talking to adults and talking to children. So if anything, I think it's more beneficial for them to be homeschooled, because they get that experience to talk to all sorts of people rather than just children their own age.
Awesome. Okay, well, in closing, because we've been 30 minutes, I just love this. This is amazing. I'm loving listening to your story. In closing, what would you say are your favorite things about homeschooling, and what are your least favorite things? And I want you to be really honest, like to really be honest for other mums and dads out there who might be having a rough time or a good time, and they just want to hear people be honest about, you know, what it is like, and to know that they're not alone in their struggles.
Yeah. So I'll start with my least favorite. So my least favorite thing is sometimes I get sick of having my children around me all the time, and I just
yes.
Like I can't even go to the toilet without them being there, because I think what happens is they get so used to you being around all the time is that those sort of boundaries come down a little bit. And so they're with me literally, like when I'm in the shower, they come in. When I'm in the toilet, they come in. When I'm getting dressed, they come in. There's no boundaries. So sometimes I feel like, I just want 10 minutes where I just have adult time. I will say, having the three boys, sometimes I get sick of their constant fighting with each other, because they're not off playing with their own group of friends and they only have each other to play with. There's heaps of fights. They're boys. They wrestle and then they cry, and then they wrestle and then they cry, and then they make up and then they wrestle and they cry. So I get sick of the fighting. And oh my goodness, you know what else? Now I just thought, the food. The food bill is so much higher because they just eat all day. When they were at school, I would pack them a lunch, and then that was all they could eat until they got home. But with boys home, they just graze all day. The other thing that probably annoys me is when their schoolwork's done, they will say, I'm bored, and they'll want to play, you know, devices. And I don't want them to just play devices. That's not why they're at home. They're not at home so they can just have computer time all the time. So, yeah, the whole I'm bored and wanting to play devices really gets on my nerves a lot. But I would probably say they're my biggest negatives. That's it. Yeah. I'm lucky because my kids are a bit older now, so I don't have to worry about things like I take them shopping with me, and they're not a hassle, you know. They're not 5 or 6 anymore. They're older, and so they're past that stage where it's really hard to take them anywhere. They're easy to take places now. But so it's more just the fighting and being bored at home. Now my favorite, the things yes. I love is actually, like, one of the things I was annoyed at was that they're always there, but it's also one of the things I love. I love having my children around me for company, because I really enjoy my kids. I really love them. You know, it was one of the things we said is we didn't want to just send them to school just to be babysat. because we don't need them to be babysat. We want them around us. We want to spend time with them. We want to get to know them. We want a relationship with them. You know, and that is much easier to facilitate when they're at home. You can facilitate a relationship with your children because you are constantly engaging in conversation with them and knowing what's going on. And I will say that the difference between my daughter who goes to school and my boys that are at home is that I have to pry information out of her to find out what's going on in her day. Whereas with my boys, I know what's going on in their day and we have a constant line of communication going. So that's probably my main thing that I love, is that I know my children really well in a healthy way. I don't think it's an unhealthy way. So I love that. I love the ease of just being able to go away for the weekend or go on a holiday and not have to worry about trying to catch up with schoolwork or organize it with the school. I love that when we have visitors, we don't have to worry about, you know, oh, the kids, can they get a day off from school? Or, you know, people, we have visitors all the time and constantly people dropping in, and my children get to be a part of that and enjoy the visitors as well. And I love that they can be a part of the farm work with Nathan and myself. And I love that that means that their dad gets to spend time with them because, you know, they're not leaving at 8 o'clock in the morning and then their dad getting home at 7 o'clock at night and then only getting to spend an hour with their dad each day. So, and for us, that's, you know, we're different from a lot of homeschool families because we are on a farm and their dad is at home. So, which is one of the reasons we homeschooled, because we're on a farm and because they, you know, they get to have that education as well. So that's probably one of the things I love the most, is that their dad is so involved in their life, and so they'll grow up really having a great relationship with their dad. Yeah, they're my favorite.
That's a lot. That's really good. Yeah. Really, really like that. So what if someone was to say, when you talk about that the kids sort of the boundaries are blurred and they walk in on you in the toilet and getting changed and things like that, what if people were to say that, you know, that's unhealthy and kids really need their own autonomy and they need to, you know, they need to not have a helicopter parent and homeschooling is just helicopter parenting? What would you say?
I would laugh and say, spend a week here on the farm with me. I'm actually probably the least helicopter parent you've ever met. My children have so much autonomy. They are allowed at the age of 8 and 9 to go take the motorbikes up the paddock without me, or you know, go for adventures down the creek without me. You know, so while they're around me all the time, they're also off doing their own thing a lot of the time as well, if that makes sense. So I would say that maybe possibly people are right that our boundaries do need to get a bit clearer, and as the boys get older, that is what we're navigating and working out. But I would definitely say that I'm not a helicopter parent, in that I'm not super controlling of my children. And also the rebuttal to that as well would be that kids are going to be influenced. That's just how children are. They're sponges. They sponge up whatever they're around, and I would rather it be healthy influences that are controlled by a mature adult than some of the negative influences that are out there in schoolyards. And I don't think anyone can argue that left to themselves in a schoolyard with one teacher patrolling the playground, that kids are going to get up to mischief, and I know that I did, and they're going to be negatively influenced. So you know, while I don't agree with helicopter parenting, I would say that, you know, whoever your children are around, be it you or be it other children, they're going to be influenced, and I would rather be the one influencing them for the good and for the things I choose for them than other children that don't have life experience or maturity or wisdom. Yeah.
And I would just point out for anyone who doesn't homeschool their kids and maybe listening to this, or probably in the future, 10 years time when this is floating around the internet, that it's not so much that we're talking about bad influences in school as if like public school is like the devil and things like that. It's yeah. not so much that you know the other kids at school are evil. It's not right. so much bad influence. It is just the nature of children when yeah. they are in the presence of other children. This is just human nature. This is what kids yeah. do. They just they try to show off. Their ego is so huge at this age, they don't think through their actions very well. So I just wanted to point that out before people say that we think that, you know, our homeschooling children are angels and the kids at school are demons. It's not the truth at all.
Half the time. Seriously, I love them to bits, but they're children. They do naughty things. And just the three of them together will get up to mischief. But I would rather be there to talk them through maybe consequences that have happened because of it, or talk them through decisions they've made, rather than other children go, oh, that was awesome. You know, that, and it is. It's just the nature of the beast. Children are going to, a lot of the time, not all the time, but a lot of the time, be an influence where negativity happens, and my children could possibly be the ones that are doing it as well. That's just how it works when children get together. So it's nothing against school. It's just when you get a mob of children together, that's what's going to happen anyway.
A mob of children together with really very little supervision.
That's it. Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely. Excellent point. And how can I ask, how have you handled homeschooling while going through cancer treatment? Because I'm sure a lot of people listening, and myself included, I'm just amazed. I'm absolutely amazed that you have the energy, emotional, physical, to be able to still, you know, put into teaching your kids while you are going through cancer treatment.
Yeah, well,
worried about your own health and your own future.
Yeah, it was hard, I'm not going to lie, which is why we had to modify things, as in send the two oldest ones back to school full-time and only part-time the two younger ones. So I did get a break on the 2 days that they were at school. But I guess that's the beauty of homeschooling, isn't it, is that you can, like the week after you do chemo, you just flat, like you've got no energy, you feel absolutely wrecked. And so we would do less on those days. And then in the few weeks after that, when you're feeling a bit better, you can do a bit more. So that's one of the beauties of homeschooling, is that it is fluid. You can do more on some days and less on other days. So, I would say it's probably easier with a machine like homeschooling, to be able to do something like go through chemo and then teach your children, rather than, you know, I found trying to help my older children with their homework more exhausting because it had to be done whether I wanted to or not. Whereas if I felt really bad on one of the days after my chemo treatment and I couldn't homeschool my children, I would do the bare minimum and that was okay. Yeah.
And what would you say to someone if they were to say, well, your kids shouldn't have to see you go through that. Your kids shouldn't have to see, they should be at school and they should be protected and shouldn't have to see you going through something so horrific as chemo and cancer treatment.
Oh, yeah, my kids were going to see it whether they were at home or at school. And I am a big believer in carefully exposing children to life. So yeah. Still protecting them while you do it and only exposing them to what you feel they can handle. But I felt like my children really grew and really found a lot of empathy, and I found it that it was a good experience for them to see that what can happen in life. This is the reality of the world we live in, that there is sickness and there is cancer and people, you know, go through really tough times, and they were able to help me through it, and I think that we grew closer to it. So I don't think it was a negative thing that they had to see me go through that. I think it was a positive thing for our family to experience it together, because regardless of whether they were at school or at home, when a member of the family has cancer, the whole family feels it. So, I felt that we were able to balance it better with them being at home. And once again, I'll give the example of my older daughter who was at school. I found that she coped far less better than my children that were at home. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. Well, do you want to mention anything else?
No, I don't think so.
You don't want to talk about anything else about homeschooling? Now's your chance.
No, I think I'm good. I think we said it all. What I would say is I don't think that I'm a typical homeschooler, but the point is that I don't think there is necessarily a typical homeschooler. They come in all shapes and sizes, and you know, everyone does it different, and that's the beauty of it. Like, I think there's this real stereotypical image of a homeschooler where, you know, they're all little, well, Christians with their long skirts and no personalities, and you know, with 1,000 children, and you know, the kids are all running around with snotty noses and they're all weirdos. But having met a lot of homeschoolers now and become one myself, as I would say, that there's no right or wrong way to do it, and that stereotypical image that society has couldn't be further from the truth. It's I would find the overwhelming thing that I found is it's mostly just people that really love their children and want to spend time with them and be around them, not because they're helicopter parents or controlling, but because they have a genuine interest in their children and think that, you know, if one teacher with 32 students can do it, well, they can do it with one-on-one, regardless of whether you're educated or not. So, yeah, I would say that that stereotypical image of a homeschooler needs to be smashed, because it's just not true. There's so many different ways to do it, and there's no right or wrong way to do it. That's what I would say.
Awesome. And last question, very last question. What advice would you give to someone who's considering homeschooling but is a little bit frightened or apprehensive? What would you say?
You've got nothing to lose. There's absolutely nothing to lose and everything to gain. And at the end of the day, even if you just tried it for a term, the worst that's going to happen is that you realize it's not for you and you enroll your children back into school. And the best thing that could happen is you realize, actually, I really enjoy this. My child is growing. Our relationship is growing. And then you keep at it. Like, what have you got to lose? All that happens is you just enroll your child back in school again. That's the worst that could happen. So I would just say, if you're thinking about it, just have a go. If you don't like it, well, you know, nothing bad's happened, really. You've tried, it didn't work. But if you're thinking about it, have a go, even if it's just for a term. I reckon if you did it even just for a term, the very least that would happen is that your relationship with your child would get better, not worse. And I think that's another misconception, is that you get so frustrated. The number one thing people say to me is, I don't know how you could do that. I couldn't have the patience for it. That is literally the number one thing that I hear over and over again. And I think that what happens is we get so used to running around and doing our own thing that we just think that we would just get so frustrated with our children. And sometimes I do get frustrated with our children. But what I also found is that my relationship deepens and develops with my children. And so I grow more patience for them, because I have more of an understanding of them and a better relationship with them. So if that's your excuse, is that I don't know how I could do it, I would just lose my patience, I would say just have a go even for a term. I think that your relationship with your child would develop. Anyway, that's what I would say.
Great advice. All right. Well, thank you so much for being my guinea pig. I thought that was really, really beautiful, getting to know you and your story, and I think listeners will really, really appreciate hearing what you've been through and what you're still going through, and how you came to homeschooling and what it helps you and your kids with, and the challenges as well are just as important, I think. So
yeah, that's it. And I look forward to hearing other people's stories, because it can be isolating yeah, if you're not involved with a homeschool community. And it is interesting to hear other people's stories. So I hope it takes off so I can listen.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Christy McIntosh.
No worries.
All right. Thanks. Bye.